Good evening. Good to be able to bring you the message this evening, and always look forward to doing so. And like I said, before I dive into the lesson, the topic I picked, of course, this was supposed to have been last week. We had the ice storm, or a little bit of an ice problem last week. So I picked this about a week ago or so, and like I said, it's very fitting now since yesterday. If y'all haven't looked at our car, we have a lot to be thankful for. The deer hit us yesterday as we were driving in Gentry, and like I said, it took out the window, but we're very thankful to that it didn't do damage to us or anyone else. But the topic I picked for this evening is, our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. In this lesson, we're going to see that we do have an awesome God, and we also will see that we have a duty that lies before us. We're going to see that. You know, the word awesome is found about 316 times in the Old Testament. It's a Hebrew word that means fearful, terrible. This evening, our first point this evening is, our God is awesome. Our God is awesome. You know, I wonder if we really understand God's greatness. You know, he's very patient with us. He's patient with us. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Bible reads, "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." You know, we should have that same attitude for others. We need that same attitude. Also in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction." You know, we know that God's creation, it's all around us. But do we really appreciate it as much as we should? We also sing the song often, you know, our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. You know, God sees the good in us, and he sees the bad in us. In Genesis chapter 6 in verses 5 and 6. Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, the Bible reads, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." And then in verse 6, "The Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart." So we see it, you know, at one point in time, God was sorry for creating man. He was sorry for that. You know, man was doing wicked things, and God allows us to choose how to live. He has given us guidelines on how to live, but many times we choose the way we want to do things without any thoughts on how God would do things. We do that so often. We have to wonder at times if God grieves in his heart at the things that we are accepted worldly these days. I wonder about that. You know, we know that sin is a problem all over the world today, but it was back in the beginning as well. It was back in the beginning as well. We know God will deal with sins if we don't repent of those wrongdoings. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is, "Fear God and keep his commandments," because this applies to every person. Verse 14, "For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil." So we can't hide anything from God. We cannot. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, this was dealing with Adam and Eve here. "They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. They thought they could hide from God After they ate from the tree, they wasn't supposed to eat from. You know, how often do we try to do the same thing? You know, there are many even in the Bible who have done this same thing. You know, Ananias and Sapphira, we think of them in Acts chapter 5 and verse 4. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 4, while it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. And, you know, and then in verse 5, of course, we know that Ananias died. And then Sapphira she also had the chance to tell the truth, but she did not. She chose not to, and she died as well in verse 10 there. You know, both of them had the opportunity to tell the truth, and God dealt with them. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20, the Bible reads, "For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it. This finds favor with God." You know, we should want to find favor with God rather than trying to find favor with men. Pleasing God should be the only thing we do in this life. We should please God rather than please men. In Psalm 104 and verse 34, Psalm 104, verse 34, "Let my meditation be pleasing to Him. As for me, I shall be glad in the Lord." You know, our thoughts should please God, and we should keep good thoughts and not allow Satan to sway our minds toward evil thoughts. You know, Satan is our only enemy we have to worry about. As long as we listen to God and obey His Word, we can't go wrong. As long as we listen to God's Word, we cannot go wrong. Listen and do. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22, "And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight." You know, the Bible gives us guidelines to live by, and we must stay on the straight and narrow. Also in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 21, Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 21, the Bible reads, "You shall not dread them, for the Lord your God is in your midst, a great and awesome God." You know, many times God's awesomeness is overlooked, and we end up complaining more than we praise Him. God gives us more than we deserve, but sometimes we are hard to satisfy. Point number two this evening is God provides for His people. God provides for His people. In Exodus chapter 16 and verse 4, Exodus chapter 16 and verse 4, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether or not they will walk in my instruction.'" You know, Israel did a good job grumbling many times. Even though the Lord was helping them through everything, they grumbled. Many times we have a hard time being content ourselves. We ought to take Paul's attitude in Philippians 4 and verse 11. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, the Bible reads, "Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am." We must remember where Paul was when he wrote the book of Philippians. He was in jail. And we must remember that. And he found ways to be content. You know, it's easy for us to sit and think, how can you be happy in jail or a dungeon-like place? You know, it probably didn't smell good, but he found contentment there. He found contentment there. God provided a ram for Abraham to sacrifice. Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son, but the Lord saw his reverence, saw his fear that he and the respect that he had. This had to be hard on Abraham, but God blessed him for his obedience. In Genesis chapter 22, verses 17 and 18, Genesis chapter 22, verses 17 and 18, this is the Lord speaking to Abraham here. Indeed, I will bless you. I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore. Your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. So, and in verse 18, in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. You know, the Lord wants our obedience as well. If we aren't walking with the Lord, we are lost. Abraham is an example for us to follow because of his obedience. You know, there are things in this life that will make us question our faith. But we must trust that God gives us all that we need. You know, I wonder if we concentrate more on negative things in our life compared to the positive things that has been done. God provides, he also provides the way of escape. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure. So he provides a way out for us. You know, it's nice knowing that he has provided a way of escape from temptation for us. You know, we can get out of any situation with God's help. You know, even Nehemiah saw fear in his people. In Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 14. The Bible reads, I saw their fear. I rose and spoke to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Nehemiah had to remind them that the Lord is great and awesome. He had to remind them that. We need that reminder as well. You know, these people had the task of rebuilding the wall, and it wasn't going to be easy. So we need to make the most of our time here on earth so we can prepare the generations to come. We know that many congregations in the brotherhood all over the world have shrunk in size. We also see that the world is accepting things that aren't according to God's word. We as Christians have to take a stand against those things and stand for what's right. God's word is what we must follow, and we must be an example to others so they can see what they must do. Also, the third thing this evening is God provides shelter. God provides shelter. You know, in Psalm 46 and verse 1, the Bible reads, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You know, it's good that that we can go to God in prayer anytime. You know, we are never alone. Prayer is a privilege that we take for granted because many times we try to handle things ourselves. You know, also we tend to want to take credit for working things out ourselves when in all actuality, God had a hand in it and he should get the credit instead of us glorying in ourselves. You know, many times we go to God only when we are in trouble or going through rough times. We should go to him when things are going good. We should, because we tend to forget how blessed we really are. We have many things to be thankful for. In Psalm 118 and verse 8, the Bible reads, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. You know, and this is so true. Many times we put too much trust in man when we need to put our trust in God and his word. Man can lead us astray if we aren't careful. In John chapter 4 and verse 24, the Bible reads, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So we need a good attitude as we come to worship and make sure we are not just going through the motions. You know, God knows if our minds are right as we worship. You know, if we don't get something out of worship, then we probably didn't give God our best. And that's something we must do. We ought to look forward to meeting together each time we come together as a church family. Many times we get distracted by worldly things, and we must focus as much as possible the way God deserves. In Psalm 22 and verse 3, this is the David Psalm of Deliverance. Psalm 22 and verse 3, the Bible reads, "My God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you saved me from violence." David was a man after God's own heart. He knew that God was mighty and he could protect his people. We also know that David hadn't always done what was right, but he did come to the realization that he had an awesome God. In Psalm 66, verses 3 through 5, "Say to God, how awesome are your works! Because of the greatness of your power, your enemies will give feigned obedience to you. All the earth will worship you and will sing praises to you. They will sing praises to your name." Verse 5, "Come and see the works of God, who is awesome in his deeds toward the sons of man." You know, if David could come to recognize the awesomeness of God, then we can too. David had his faults just like us, but he came to know God and was shown the error of his way. So he changed for the good. God can change us if we allow him to do so. He can change us. God also, the last thing this evening is, God has the power to save. God has the power to save. He provided salvation to Noah and his family in the flood. We know Noah had great faith in God because of his obedience. Noah did not have to build an ark. He chose to build it. He chose to build that ark. Also, Jonah chapter 2 and verse 9. This is Jonah's prayer. The Bible reads, "But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will pay salvation. I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord." Also in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." We need to be more like Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28. "Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches." You know, are we concerned for the church today as we should be? You know, it's our Christian duty to speak to those who have never heard the gospel. We all have neighbors and friends that we could invite to services or maybe even offer a Bible study to. We also must remember in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. The Bible reads, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." You know, we can point people in the right direction. We shouldn't be ashamed of what we know. We should share the good news. You know, being a Christian doesn't mean we sit back and do nothing after we are baptized. There are plenty of things that we should be doing, and we tend to make excuses. But what will we say on Judgment Day? We will have no excuses when it comes to Judgment Day. The time is now, and to put our hands to the plow and do the work of the Lord. You know, once we realize that we have an awesome God, then we need to do His will and teach it to others so they can teach the next generations to come. So the choice is yours this evening. You know, we have that choice each and every day who we're going to serve. And the lesson is yours this evening. If you haven't become a child of God, haven't put Christ on in baptism, or if you are a Christian struggling in your life, Whatever your need is, go ahead and make it be made known as we stand and sing the invitation.